Most people do not play sports professionally. In the best case scenario, they get a moderate amount of healthy exercise. And all of that is perfectly compatible with fasting. And if you exercise heavily, you will just have to make sure you take in enough protein. It doesn't have to be meat, it doesn't have to be milk, but you will need to find your sources of protein, and it's well worth investigating.
A little of the theme from Chariots of Fire makes one think at least a little bit about athletics, doesn't it? And I thought that fit nicely with our theme on today's edition of Come Receive the Light. Great and Holy Lent is upon us, and for many that means fasting. Today on Come Receive the Light, we're going to take a very practical and realistic look at the nutritional needs our bodies have and how fasting impacts those needs. There are, of course, theological foundations for fasting, but we'll leave that discussion for another time. Welcome to the broadcast, a weekly visit, and we've been at it for nearly 15 years now, so that's a lot of conversations on many, many topics, all viewed through the ancient lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, whom we'll hear from in just a moment. Well, fasting is one of those things that many find confusing. What does refraining from food have to do with worship? Well, spiritual fasting is not just about giving up certain foods or other items. It's about feeding the Spirit through our obedience to God. Remember that word, obedience. There are many scriptures in both the Old and New Testaments about fasting, and I encourage you to take some time and do some in-depth study on the subject in the coming days. A great resource for that purpose is the Orthodox Study Bible, which, if you don't have it, is available through the Orthodox Christian Network Bookstore, or OCN Bookstore, accessed through our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the Buy link on the homepage. That's myocn.net. It's also a great way to support this nonprofit ministry. Anything you purchase in the bookstore generates a donation to Come Receive the Light and the Orthodox Christian Network. Plus, you access the resource through Amazon, and anything you purchase on Amazon, once you've accessed it through our website, again, generates a donation back to the ministry. That's myocn.net. Well, Father Sergei Svezhnikov is the rector at the Holy New Martyrs and Confessors of Russia Church in Molino, Oregon, along the road between Salem and Portland in Oregon. He is also an instructor with the Institute for Orthodox Studies, and he's Father Chris's guest this week.
Let's talk, first of all, we have to let our listeners know you are not a doctor, that you are a priest, and we're talking about this subject as it relates to dieting and also, of course, fasting. So let's start by hearing in simple terms, what does the body need?
Right. I just want to say again, I'm not a doctor, and certainly if somebody is experiencing or struggling with an illness of some kind and want to know what to do in a particular situation, they have to go and ask their doctor. In basic terms, I think we're all comfortable with operating various instruments and machinery and devices in our lives without going to a scientist or an engineer. We can pick up a phone and use it because we know how it works in basic terms. We learn how they work, we learn how to use them, and we do it. And I think that when it comes to our bodies, this wonderful organism given to us by God, we have to take the responsibility and learn some basic rules of operation, to read some basic instructional manual. To know how it works and to use it well is a very good idea indeed.
So we have carbs, we have fats, we have proteins. Can we go through that? Can we? Because I think the vast majority of the people, although they may have an app on their phone, don't know what the balance is for the day. At least I don't.
Sure. In basic terms, if we just look at the very basics of how our body works, it needs fuel. It needs building blocks for building tissue and muscle and bone and other tissues in our body. And it needs certain other things like fats and minerals and vitamins. So when we try to work our body in any way at all, whether we're thinking about a mathematical problem and trying to solve it using our brain, or whether we're pushing a heavy cart or lifting bricks or walking or running or doing any physical activity at all, including mental activity, like I mentioned, when we use our brain, we have to use fuel. And that fuel is provided to us mostly by carbohydrates. Our body takes in carbohydrates, converts them into fuel, and that's what we use to operate our body. When we don't get enough carbohydrates, we become tired and sluggish, and our body begins to slow down its metabolism to the point that certain non-essential functions will begin to shut down. We will get tired, so we will not be able to run. We will get sluggish, so we will not be able to think about that mathematical problem, and so on. So that's one basic nutrient that our body needs.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Father. Now, you've got fats, you've got proteins. Can you share anything about those two areas?
Sure. So when we do physical work with our muscles, we actually damage our muscles. That is to say, if we actually do real physical work, I'm not talking about a walk in the park or playing chess and moving those chess pieces. I'm talking about real exercise. We really damage our muscles. And that's why the next day our muscles are sore, because they've been damaged. The body has to rebuild that muscle, repair it. And when it does so, it uses proteins. The proteins come from many different food sources. They don't necessarily have to come from meat or fish or milk, because it is not the piece of meat that we consume that gets strapped directly to our bicep, for example. The piece of meat has to be broken down into amino acids, or the proteins in the meat have to be broken down into amino acids and then reassembled for human use. Our body reassembles it, the various amino acids, into proteins that the human body can use. But those amino acids can be found in other food sources. Beans and rice and grains and potatoes have protein, believe it or not. Peanut butter. I mean, all kinds of foods have ways of giving us amino acids to rebuild our muscles. There are certain amino acids that can be found only in very certain foods. Those are called essential amino acids. Our body cannot produce them. It cannot make them. So it has to get them from some food source. A food source that has those essential amino acids is called complete protein. Meat, for example, has complete protein. We know that. But few people know that a combination of rice and beans also gives us all of the essential amino acids and also constitutes a complete protein. Another grain called quinoa, just by itself, has all of the essential amino acids, just like meat, and gives us complete protein. So there are many sources of protein that are both lenten and non-lenten.
Okay. Now, when we all are driving down the street, I can hear people listening to the program and saying, my goodness, there's so many restaurants out there, so many fast food places to go to. And many times that's not the best kind of food. So let me go right to the core of it, and I'll just ask a question that I get asked many times. A lot of people say they're concerned about fasting, and sometimes for themselves, but also for the children. We get asked the question a lot when the person is expected to fast if they're involved in sports. Well, I'm playing football. How do I fast? Or my kid is on a school team, or an adult who runs every day. So how do we respond from a faith perspective to that type of a question, Father?
There isn't a single human activity that is incompatible with fasting. There are, of course, adjustments and variations to our fasting rules that have to be made depending on what we do. But there isn't a single thing that is just plain incompatible with fasting. Well, perhaps most people would think of competitive bodybuilding, when the goal is actually to grow meat on your bones. But even that is not entirely true, because there are many competitive bodybuilders who are vegans, and they have made adjustments to their diets to take in enough vegetable protein and actually grow enough meat on their bones to compete in various competitions. But those are extremes. Most people are not competitive bodybuilders. Most people are not Olympic athletes. Most people do not play sports professionally. In the best case scenario, they get a moderate amount of healthy exercise, and all of that is perfectly compatible with fasting. You may need to take in enough calories, because otherwise you simply won't be able to exercise very well. So you will not be able to fast like a monk, for example, who may go for an entire week without eating anything. If you try that kind of fasting and then run every day, you will last for a few days, but eventually you will just have to take in enough calories. And if you exercise heavily, you will just have to make sure you take in enough protein. It doesn't have to be meat, it doesn't have to be milk, but you will need to find your sources of protein, and it's well worth investigating what they may be, and also learning some new recipes of how you put them together.
Sure. And a lot of people will probably say, well, I can't fast because I'm ill. I can't fast because I'm under doctor's care. Well, if that's the case, then you talk with your doctor about it.
True. And I think a lot of people misunderstand what it means to be ill. For example, if you have the flu, will eating a hot dog actually make you feel better? No, it will not. If anything, those processed products with a ton of sodium and other junk in them will probably make you feel worse. So just because you have the flu or the cold, or just in general don't feel well most of the time, the reason for that is not fasting. You probably don't feel well when you're not fasting either.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have other things going on. For example, you don't sleep enough, or you don't exercise, you don't take good care of your body. Maybe you drink too much coffee, or any number of other things that can affect how we feel. And so we just need to make sure we take good care of ourselves instead of saying, well, I have the cold or I have the flu or I just don't feel well, and so I will eat ice cream.
Well, we also have that. We have a society that's fixated on food, oral gratification. We have a huge amount of people that are not obese but morbidly obese. And having been there and known that struggle, I know how difficult that is. So I'm not throwing rocks here at people who are having weight issues, but it's the fixation of it. And then it's sort of this, I give up, you know, I'm not going to lose anything, so I'll just eat myself into oblivion. But we're talking about existence on a higher plane, because fasting leads us to do a lot more than just deny ourselves food, doesn't it, Father?
Of course. Yes, we often, and maybe a little bit too much in my opinion, talk about spiritual ways of fasting to the detriment of the physical ways associated with food. I think the problem is quite simple. We have become very weak. We don't have enough willpower to actually deny ourselves that hot dog or whatever it may be. And so we come up with all these good-sounding, spiritual-sounding ways of explaining it out. Well, it's not about food, really. It's about, I don't know, the spiritual values and virtues and fighting the passions. And food isn't even really important. It's just somewhere out there. And I think that's absolutely wrong. That's playing into the falsehood of dichotomy, which is simply not found in the scriptures. And the dichotomy model states that there is a separation of the spiritual world and the physical world, and the spiritual is the real world, and the physical is just bad, not real, just needs to go away and ignored, and it doesn't really matter what we do. Paul spoke to the Corinthians precisely about that when he rejected their claims that it didn't matter what they did with their bodies, whether they ate, drank, or went to the local temple to have relations with, let's call them priestesses at that temple. He said, no, it matters what you do with your body. And the fathers, if we think about their example, when we say that a certain holy father so-and-so spent his life in prayer and fasting, we very well understand that we're talking about fasting from foods here. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are whole. We cannot separate the spirit from the flesh. And the resurrection and the future life with God is not a life of phantoms and spirits floating around somewhere in some spiritual plane or parallel universe. We are awaiting a physical resurrection, because without the physical body, the person is not a person. God did not create a spirit of Adam. He created the whole of Adam, the being, the human being that necessarily has the body. In fact, the body was made first before, mm-hmm. before the spirit was breathed into it. And so we have to remember that we simply can't lie to ourselves and say, well, it doesn't matter what I eat. God doesn't care. I'll just eat what I eat, and I'll just be a good person for the fast. Well, great. It's good to be a good person. But if you cannot control that very basic, that simplest organ, the sack of flesh called stomach, if the stomach becomes your master and your ruler, then you certainly shouldn't be talking about any higher dimensions like spiritual or controlling your mind or controlling your emotions. You have to start with the basics. Right. It's like any athlete. You don't go and lift 100 pounds or 200 pounds. You start with 10 pounds, mm-hmm. and then you work up to 100.
Yes.
So the physical fast, that first primary step, simply cannot be skipped. You just can't do that.
There is a lot of questions I want to ask you, but I need quick answers for them, Father, because we don't have too much time.
Sure.
If you look at fasting, people will say, you know, my children or I just can't concentrate at work. I can't concentrate at school, so therefore I can't fast. How do we respond to that?
Well, again, meat does not aid in concentration. Uh-huh. So there are probably other things going on. For example, you just haven't had breakfast. Uh-huh. Have a good bowl of oatmeal for breakfast. It has a lot of complex carbs that will fuel your body for about 5 hours, both your muscles and your brain, because your brain uses a lot of the calories that your body takes in, and you should be just fine. Just eat a good breakfast.
Women who are pregnant, those about to give birth, those who are nursing, we hear that question. Should women skip the fast altogether, given their increased dietary needs?
There is no church rule or canon that I'm aware of that requires pregnant or nursing women to fast the way that the monastics are mm-hmm. required to fast. And so there is absolutely no need for a pregnant or a nursing mother to follow the monastic rule of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we have to also remember that fasting does not have to be, strictly speaking, following the monastic rule. Pregnant or nursing mother can still fast by, for example, choosing to eat only the healthiest things and avoid all the things that are unnecessary or unhealthy. Just because you're nursing doesn't mean you have to eat those hot dogs or that ice cream or any number of other things like onion rings or french fries. Choose something healthy for you, for yourself and for your baby.
Yeah, having six children, I can tell you that hot dogs were not a part of the regimen when my wife was feeding our children, that's for sure.
Wonderful.
Finally, a lot of people don't follow any fasting at all. And when they travel, anytime they'll eat anything they want, they're with non-Orthodox families. Any thoughts about those things? I mean, how do we balance being polite and being honest and keeping to the fast that we are supposed to do?
I think here again we're sort of using the opportunity to lie to ourselves and to deprive ourselves of the benefits of fasting. When we travel, for example, we have this false understanding that, oh, well, those who travel don't have to follow fasting rules. That is not true at all. There are accommodations that have to be made when you travel. You don't cook your own food. You are limited in what you can easily obtain when you're traveling. But if you think about it, we don't travel in some kind of harsh ways anymore. We don't walk for 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 miles a day. We travel in very comfortable cars or in equally comfortable airplanes. And so we can think ahead. We can bring some fasting Lenten food with us, or we can choose to buy things that are still relatively fasting. So if you have a choice between a burger and a fish sandwich, choose a fish sandwich. You can also choose a salad. Don't worry about the dressing. Just use whatever dressing they have, but it's a salad. We have to really discipline ourselves And just because we're driving in a comfortable car listening to the radio is no reason at all to break our fast or to tell ourselves that, well, we shouldn't fast. And it's the same with family members. You know, here in America, it's surprising how many Orthodox Christians use this pretense of being polite to their family members to break their fast. There are other family members who are vegans, vegetarians, diabetics, any number of dietary restrictions or accommodations are being made for any number of reasons. But when it comes to practicing your faith, all of a sudden you just think that if you refuse that burger, you're not going to be polite. That's not true. You can bring your own fish burger to the family gathering. Mm-hmm. You can still be very nice and polite and loving and kind towards everyone without eating that meat or having that ice cream. You can, you know, people forego things all the time and nobody gets upset.
The issue too, I think, Father, is an issue of priority and commitment. I think
if
we are committed to the faith, doesn't mean we go around and we knock others down and we criticize those that don't fast. But if we're committed, just plain and simple, we become very lazy. And in becoming lazy, then we forego that which really, in my eyes, and I think in yours too, is the most important thing, which is the salvation of our souls. All of this leads to our salvation, not just fasting, but prayer, almsgiving, all of these things during Great Lent lead to it. But fasting cannot just kind of just be pushed aside as some ancient archaic way of, some people actually call it, well, you people thought of this in order to punish us.
Yeah, well, I think what we've started to do, which is very, very sad and regrettable, is we've started to look for ways, these legalistic ways to break our fast. Mm. Well, if I just go on a trip, I don't have to fast. Well, if I just go and visit someone non-Orthodox, I don't have to fast. Well, if I just go for a run, I'll be allowed to eat this and that. And that's just a very dangerous mindset. We're cheating ourselves. We're depriving ourselves of the benefits. Instead, I think we need to develop the mindset that goes something like this. How can I keep the fast? How can I find every possible way to keep the fast? Just a complete reversal, 180 degrees. You know, what can I do to keep that fast, to give that benefit to myself, to reach for a higher spiritual level than where I was yesterday? And I think that's where we falter.
Absolutely. What's one thing you would like to encourage each and every one of our listeners to do this Great Lent, Father?
Well, I would like to maybe encourage people to do two things. One is I'm very fascinated with the Roman Catholic custom, a modern custom of giving up something that you really like for Great Lent, whether it's coffee or chocolate or whatever it is that people really, really like. We sometimes laugh at that and say, well, we, you know, don't eat meat and all you have to do is give up chocolate. But, you know, that laughter should be directed really at us, because the desserts we make during Great Lent rival any desserts on any great feast. I think what we really have to think about is depriving ourselves. A fast is a discipline, and we have to feel that. We have to let our body know who the master is. We have to let our stomach know who the master is. We have to let our mind, our brain, know who the master is. We have to be in control of our faculties instead of them being in control of us. And so to think of the fast as that act of discipline, the practice of discipline. Why don't you deprive yourself of that thing that you like? So what that you can find dark chocolate that's perfectly Lenten? It's not perfectly Lenten. Why don't you forego that for all of Lent? And it's a wonderful idea. Another thing is I would encourage everyone to just study their marvelous and wonderful body that is given to us by God just a little bit. Learn how it works. Learn what it needs, what it actually needs. Not what you want, not what you like, not what's tasty, but what your body actually needs. Learn a couple new recipes. Let them be very simple, but let them be very healthy. I think that's probably a very good task for the upcoming Lent.
Thank you very much, Father Sergei, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, I promised you a very practical conversation at the beginning of our interview today, and I think we've delivered. If you'd like to listen again to this discussion, and I think many of you might want to, you can go to our website at myocn.net, click on the Listen button, and then select Come Receive the Light, and you'll see not only this particular conversation, but also a number of broadcasts from the past, and you can also open up our archives and listen again to scores of interviews. That's all on the website at myocn.net. Also, check out our blog page. You'll find some conversations there that you'll want to get involved with and perhaps discuss this topic or others with listeners and readers from around the world. That's our blog called The Sounding at myocn.net. And please remember, we're a nonprofit outreach. We appreciate your prayers and, of course, your financial participation. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos each week. Special thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. Do tell your friends about the broadcast. Plan to be back next week. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.